You're listening to a podcast made by University College of Teacher Education, Vienna. Symposium, Transition Inclusion Research, June 9th, 2015. Please listen to Paul Schmidt, World of Work, A European Perspective.
Welcome to this short input from my side on something completely different, I would say. I will show you some data and give you some information on the situation of youth employment and youth unemployment within the European Union. It's a presentation on the transition to the world of work, from education to work, drawing the European picture and showing you how unequal the situations in the different countries within the European Union is. My name is Paul Schmidt from the Austrian Society for European Politics. The society is an office that whose objective it is to motivate people to talk more about Europe and to think more European. And we have a variety of analysis on European developments, and this is something on unemployment, youth unemployment, that I would like to share with you. Maybe another point before I start. I've seen from the program that you have had an interesting presentation also on mobility within the European Union and in particular on Erasmus, on the Erasmus program, which is the main mobility program, a very successful program. I think you've seen that. Austria is not a big country within the European Union, but in terms of Erasmus, it's a very big country. We've had about 70,000 of our students going abroad for half a year or 1 year and then coming back here, and it seems that it increases their chances to find a job. I would be an example of this because I was in Erasmus as well and I have a job. And it doesn't...
It's the one of the
44%. Exactly. And it's not only that, it does not only increases your job opportunities, it might as well increase, it might as well solve the demographic challenges of Europe. Because since I was in Spain for Erasmus, I have a Spanish girlfriend and two Spanish girls at home, so it helps in terms of intercultural understanding as well. So it has a lot of advantages. Now, coming back to the topic, to the outline, trying to show you a picture of the youth employment situation in Europe in 20 minutes. I thought that I would talk about four main issues, basically. First issue would be, so what does the data show us on youth unemployment? Where does it come from? What are the factors? You will see that there's a highly unequal distribution of employment within the European Union. You will see that there's a north-south divide, if one could say. It is also true that there's a new, something we've had in the past as well, but after 2007, when the economic crisis also hit the European Union, we've had a new wave of migration, so to speak, which is a migration of high-skilled young people from the south to the north looking for a job. You will see that there's a very close business cycle correlation. The higher the economic growth prospects, the better the job situation. It is very much connected. And the situations differ also because of the different labor market structures, in fact, and the different laws and norms that regulate the labor market. And the closer you are in terms, that is one conclusion, in fact, the closer education is to the world out there, to the job world, the better your your employment record in your country. Second point would be, so what are the measures that the European Union and member states are thinking of when they try to solve this issue? What is the situation in Austria within this European context, and then some conclusions? And if it takes me too long, maybe someone can stop me, but I try to be very quick. Now, these are the first numbers, and I will show you a lot of data and give you some food for thought, maybe. Unemployment rate today within the group of 15 to 24 years old is 20%, a little bit more than 20% of this group of young people is without employment within the European Union. EU28 stands for the 28 members of the European Union. The situation has improved a little bit if you look at the number from last year, which stood at 22.4%. What you see below is the very different situation between the countries. Lowest youth unemployment in countries like Germany, the Netherlands, and Austria are within the top three. And then you have the highest youth unemployment rates down south, Greece, Spain, Croatia. Now, if you would talk with the authorities from those countries, they would say, well, this is a major, major problem, yes, but the data doesn't really reflect reality. Maybe it's around, that is, and I quote, that is what they say, maybe it's around 30% or 35%, because a lot of people that officially are unemployed do work. So the black market is a big issue in some of those countries. Now, this map of the European Union shows you the distribution of unemployment in colors and between the 28 member states. You see that Greece and Spain are very much hit by high unemployment rates. Of course, it has to do with, I said before, with the very deep economic recession that they had been going through. Now, the next chart shows you the trends for youth unemployment, the development for the last 15 years. You can see that until 2007, 2008, when the economic crisis hit also the European Union, we had achieved quite a low rate of youth unemployment, which stood at around 15%. And then with the economic downturn, unemployment rose dramatically in 2013 up to more than 23%. And then there's a big discussion also within our countries on the kind of employment that we want to achieve and the kind of employment that we are actually achieving. We would like to see a sustainable employment, an employment that allows people to live from their job and not move into a society of working poor. There are two lines. One line is the European Union, the 28 members, and the other line is the euro area, which includes the 19 EU members whose currency is the euro. Now, on the next chart, you will see the correlation between the GDP development, GDP growth, and employment. Very similar to the youth unemployment situation. If you would just have youth unemployment, you would have the same developments, I would say. And you can see that the deep recession in 2008 and 2009, which with its consequences on employment, And between 2012 and 2013, also 1.5 years of recession that had its consequences and hit the job market quite hard. Now, on the next graph, you see the fluctuation, the strong fluctuation of youth unemployment. And interestingly, in those countries that I named before, Germany, Austria, the Netherlands, and Denmark, youth unemployment fluctuation is very low, very low. At the end of the line, you will see that there are some countries with a very, very strong fluctuation, a very strong sensitivity towards the economic situation. The lowest rate, the highest rate, and the rate of August 2014, that's what we try to show you on this chart. I think it shows quite dramatically the situation in some of the worst hit job markets in the south of Europe, in particular in the south of Europe. I think the PowerPoint presentation will be distributed later on, so you can actually follow up on the numbers later on. But I won't go into too much into details, but just on the message of the charts, maybe, or what I interpret to be the message. What you see here is, in fact, the correlation between the education and attainment levels and the employment rates. And the numbers just show you that with a lower level of education, the employment rate, of course, is also affected and is much lower. And that's even worse in times of economic downturn. The higher the education level, the higher the chances of being within work. This chart shows you something similar, in fact. It links the long-term unemployment developments with the skill level. And it shows you that if you have a higher level of more high-skilled education, the level can be more easily sustained than if it's the other way around. And in fact, what you see from 2008 on is the widening of the gap between the high-skilled and the low-skilled labor force in terms of long-term unemployment, which is quite dramatic, I would say. So there are many charts, but I thought it would give you some food for thought and show you how the situation or what the situation looks like within the European Union. This chart, for example, shows you the amount of money that countries spend on active labor market policies and the positive results that this investment can have on employment. And in fact, you can see the Austrian case very much in the middle and up on the slide. AT stands for Austria, where I think we're quite successful when it comes to active labor market policies. Because in this country, the philosophy would say, our philosophy would be, well, we'd rather spend money on the youth and invest in them, because for our society, it's healthier to do that than to leave people behind. And even from an economic point of view, I mean, this is not an economic, it's not only an economic issue, not at all, no, this. It's a issue of how you define and how you build your society. But even from an economic point of view, it's much cheaper to do that. It's much cheaper to do that. And here you see some success of those activation policies. It's public employment services, it's training, it's employment subsidies in relation to short-term unemployment. Now, my second point would be, so what can the European level in fact do? You know, we have an European Union with 28 member states and a very complex structure and a mix of competences. In fact, when it comes to social policies, employment policies, it's the member states that have to say and not the European level or the European institutions. Nevertheless, we have found out that we have, you know, we have a single market, we have mobility, free mobility within this single market. So there are spillovers from one country to the other. And it's rather wise to coordinate and inform each other on what's going on and help each other. And this is what is going on at European level. The EU plays a coordinating role. Not a decisive role, but a coordinating role in youth policy and in employment policy. Meaning that not binding, but still policy guidelines are defined and recommendations are drafted for each member state. Okay, four aims, basically mobility, education, transition from education to work, improve employability, reduce youth unemployment. That's the very philosophical, abstract objective of all these programs. But can we actually achieve that with this mix of competences? I would say it's rather difficult, but let me introduce to you two very important, I think, measures that were decided on a European level. It's the youth employment package, and in particular, the EU youth guarantee. I don't know if you heard about it, but it is something that, was established against the background of the Austrian youth guarantee, which I will talk about a little later on. Its aim is to have all young people receive a quality job or further education, apprenticeship, traineeship, whatever, within 4 months of leaving formal education or becoming unemployed. The aim is not to leave anyone behind. And that's the main aim. The financing, you know, there are richer countries and poorer countries within the European Union, so it was decided to dedicate 10 billion euros in 6 years. 10 billion euros each year. In 6 years, it would be 60 billion euros from the European Social Fund. You know, these 10 billion euros a year must be complemented by a national financial contribution. So it's 50% from the EU level and 50% from a national level. The thing is that you have some countries within the European Union that are not in the position to do this co-financing, either because they have other objectives or they just don't have the money. But still, that is, I think, a very, very good start. And we also have this youth employment initiative, which is particularly dedicated to regions where the youth unemployment is higher than 25%. And if you look at the EU map, about regions of 20 EU member states are eligible for this help. Again, here the challenge is the co-financing. But within this Youth Employment Initiative program, there we do have about 6 billion euros for the whole 6 years. So it's 60 billion within the Youth Guarantee and 6 billion within the Youth Employment Initiative. That's something, probably not enough, but something is at least it's a good start, I would say. Now, what about the implementation of this youth guarantee, which is a rather new thing? Maybe it's a little bit too bureaucratic, and that is why it has problems in taking off. But We have implementation plans. Member states have to draft and on a European level, they have to present their needs. We have plans that identify the measures that need to be taken, structural reforms on the international employment agencies, as well as in the educational systems. What does that mean? Well, in many countries, the employment agencies are the ones where you go there and you get your stamp and then you get your unemployment support. In other countries, this is a little different. They help you with your training and help you finding another job. So that this is where the structural reform idea comes from. And the educational systems, as you know, are very, very different. And in some countries are more successful in their educational system than others in terms of youth unemployment or youth employment. And it's a mutual learning from each other, I would say. Now, what is really needed is probably to double the amount of money that is made available for these programs. The International Labour Organization talks about a need for 21 billion euros a year, and we have about half of it. This map shows you a little bit these 20 regions, these regions in the 20 EU member states that are eligible for the Youth Employment Initiative. There is, and that's the only thing I want to say about it, there's actually a pre-financing now taking place because, as I said before, there are problems with the national contributions. Interestingly, a reluctance by some member states who are really in need to come and pick up the money. So there's where this idea for the pre-financing comes from. So these are two examples of tools and measures from the European level, which we hope can improve the situation. So what about, let me present to you some features on Austria in this context. What about Austria? Quick excursion to the Austrian case, I would say. We've also been hit by the crisis, but probably we're still a country, and I showed you the numbers before, where youth unemployment is relatively low. What are the reasons for this? Of course, the macroeconomic performance, but also the functioning or well-functioning dual apprenticeship system, which is a system which has a long tradition, or quite a long tradition, and is of quite great importance in Germany, Austria, Denmark, and the Netherlands. You saw the result of this system in the charts before. Now, there are, of course, many, many different dual apprenticeship systems, you know, also within the European Union, many countries that have these systems, but they're all characterized in a different way. Basically, you have three systems. You have the liberal system, which means that companies take care of the education of their staff. You have a sort of public system where it's just the schools taking care of the education of the youth. And the dual system would be a combination where schools and companies are involved. So you spend half of the week in the school and half of the week within the company learning at work. And now, this chart has its headline in German, but it shows you the youth unemployment quota in some of the European countries. And what you can see is what I said before, that Germany, Denmark, the Netherlands, and Austria perform quite well compared to others. It does not only have to do, of course, with this system of dual apprenticeship. It also has to do, in particular, with the economic performance. But you can also see that in the beginning of the chart, around 2007, there were already big differences between those countries. Now, practical examples in Austria. The way of educational and vocational guidance at school, focusing on talent and potential. Youth coaching, something very important, in particular with a special focus on teenagers at risk of educational dropout and in special educational needs. That is something I think where our system is still quite strong. And this is, of course, something that we try to export in order to help other European countries. But exporting such a system is not that easy, because history is different, structures are different, traditions are very different, economic situations are different. So it's hard to copy there's not one size fits all. You have to adapt it to your needs, in fact, and see what you can actually take out of it. Now, I think this is very important. The training guarantee that we have here in this country, and the super company apprenticeship, as we call it, I said before, it's a sort of role model for this youth guarantee at European level, where every youngster under 18 who doesn't get a regular place in a company gets a super company apprenticeship financed by the state. It's probably costly in the beginning, but it's in the end, in regarding the health of your society, it's much cheaper to do that. And I think the numbers show that. What you see here is the persons enrolled in the program. It started in 2008. It's about 10,000 people a year, and the money spent on it. And in total, it's about 10,000 euros per person per year that you have to finance in order to be able to implement this youth guarantee. Now, of course, it's not all success in this country. There's also room for improvement when it comes to the educational system. I don't want to go into it, but there's an OECD study and every year on the performance of the pupils, but that's something that you might want to look into yourself, because it would probably go too far. Now, let me conclude on what I presented to you. We believe that there should be reforms undertaken quite quickly in many of the EU countries when it comes to their apprenticeship system. But the question is, how can you actually export a system like this, which is very much even if the countries might look the same, they're very different. And as I said before, it's not one size fits all recipes that we need, but we need a case by case approach. What is important is, of course, the close connection between the education and the labor market. I think that's something that the dual apprenticeship system actually can deliver on. And of course, it helps boosting, and that's the numbers that I showed you, it helps boosting the employability of the younger people. What is crucial in the system is something which I said in the end, where you need to have a system that helps those that cannot find a regular place for themselves. This is probably one of the reasons for its success. Do not leave anyone behind, and it would pay off. Something I said before, a public employment agency. In many countries, you do have employment agencies that because of the high demand and the lack of people employed at the agencies, and because of the structure it has, they cannot really cope with it, and the only thing that they do is give you the stamp and pay out your unemployment benefits. But those employment agencies should do much more than that. Activation is the crucial word. Now, whose level should, which is the level that should be responsible? It should, of course, be the national member states. It should be the national level, because the closer you get, the closer you are to the real problems, the easier it is for you to solve this issue. Nevertheless, in order to have countries learn from each other, a coordination process is needed, and member states need to permanently monitor and evaluate the right measures at the European level and listen to the recommendations that are given. Easier access to finance is also key, and a entrepreneurial responsibility for youth education is probably also a very crucial point. Last but not least, from an economic point of view, inaction is much more costly than financing what I just presented to you, and this is one number that one should keep in mind. It is estimated that young people not in employment, education or training cost the 28 members of the EU around 153 billion euros a year. So that's quite a lot of money, and if you really invest well in the future generation, not only economically does it pay off, but also in terms of building, as I said, a healthier society. I hope I wasn't too long. If there are any question, we've changed from one topic to the other rather quickly, but I thought I might present to you some data on what the very unequal European situation looks like, to give you a picture of what the European challenges are. If there are any questions, I'm ready to I would try to answer them. If they're not, well, send me an email or get in contact with us, and we try to help you if there are any issues. Thank you very much.